We're in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're in this first section, verses 1 through 5. Paul says, "Become, therefore, followers or imitators of God as beloved children." The word dear is the word beloved. "And be walking in love, according as Christ loved us and gave himself on behalf of us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor," or an odor of sweet smell. "But fornication," or sexual immorality, "and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you according as it is appropriate for saints or holy ones. And filthiness," that is shameful speech or obscenities, "and foolish talking," or jesting, "which are not appropriate, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you are knowing, that no whoremonger," which is the noun version of the form for fornication, so no immoral person, or unclean person, or covetous person who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." We have been in this last section of Ephesians now for a few weeks. It is important that we take an overview to see how these five verses apply to the scriptures. Remember, in chapters 1 through 3 is the doctrinal part of the book of Ephesians, the doctrine of the new life. And in chapters 4 through 6, the details of the new life. Always in Paul's pattern and style to present doctrine first, then details of that doctrine lived out second. But in chapters 1 through 3, the doctrine of the new life. He says in chapter 1 that for those who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation, in which after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the guarantee of our inheritance. Being sealed by the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance in Christ. Until the redemption of the purchased possession, that is, until Christ comes for us unto the praise of his glory. In chapter 2, he told us that this is both for the Jew and the Gentile, that both Jew and Gentile must, through the hearing of the gospel, and believing in Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit, that both Jew and Gentile are made into one. In other words, as we described before, we have the Gentiles and we have the Jews. Believers are taken out of the Gentiles, believers are taken out of the Jews, and they are now made into one called the church. The church does not take the place of Israel. Israel is not the same as the church. But God saves from out of the Gentiles and the Jews some of each, and we all become one. In chapter 3, he says this is a mystery. This has been a mystery down through the ages, which no one has been able to know. But now it has been revealed to his prophets, apostles and prophets, but particularly to Paul. Chapter 3, he presents to us that God has chosen him to reveal the mysteries of Christ. But as we get into chapters 4 through 6, the details of this new life, how this new life is lived out. I want to tell you, in Paul's writings, he presents three functions of the believer. Number one function is to stand. Number two function is to walk. And the number three function is to run. It's interesting that he uses stand, walk, and run in expressing the Christian life, the believer's life, this new life that we have in Christ. As far as stand goes, we have an example in Ephesians 6:11. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the systematic attacks of the devil." So there is a time when we are to stand, not walk, not run, not do anything other than stand, like it says in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." So there's a time to be still. There's a time to stand. Ephesians 4:1 that began this section gives us an example of to walk. He says in Ephesians 4:1 that we are to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called. And so walk worthy, and walking was an example and an expression of a person's outward lifestyle, because we walk. Everywhere we walk, our feet take us, and it denotes our lifestyle. And so Ephesians 4:1 is the heading for chapter 4, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 10. We are to walk, and we see it five times in this section. We also see Paul use in his writings the example of to run. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says, "Do you not know that they which run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain." The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," that is those who live by faith in chapter 11, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with endurance the race that has been set before." Let us run. There's a time to stand. There's a time to walk. And there is a time to run. The three functions, the three words that Paul uses to describe the functions of the believer in this new life that they have been born into. For our considerations here, from chapter 4, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 9, Paul uses walk. And then in chapter 6, verse 10 through verse 20, he uses the term to stand. Chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Walk worthy of the calling in which you were called." And so in verses 1 through 16 of chapter 4, he presents the participation in the new life. We know that Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that all of those in Christ are a new creation. The old things, the old way of going by the human physical senses and the desires of the flesh are gone. They are past. But all things have become new. We are living by faith and learning to live by faith. So walk worthy of the calling, because when the Lord saves us, it is a calling. And so to walk worthy of that calling. In verse 17 of chapter 4, he says that you from now on should not walk as the rest of the Gentiles are walking, in the emptiness of their mind. So we have verse 1 of chapter 4. We have verse 17 of chapter 4. This is the negative. Do not walk like the other Gentiles are walking. If you're into mind pictures, you get the picture of the fact that you and I are Gentiles, and our little feet are going along with all the rest of the Gentiles. And he says, you should not be like the rest of the Gentiles. That just comes natural for us. We're to walk worthy of the calling. That's the heading. And we're not to walk like the rest of the Gentiles are walking in the emptiness of their mind. Spiritually, they don't have a clue. They're not saved. They're walking and living in the darkness. So we should not be walking along with them in the same lifestyle, in the same way of life as people who have no clue about the spiritual truth in Christ. We're different. We should be, as verse 23 tells us, that we should be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And verse 24 says we ought to be putting on the new man. That is, as the Lord renews our mind and as we are being changed and transformed, then that is our new life. And as God continues to change us, we should walk in that new life, not in the old life. He says in verse 30 of chapter 4, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The believer is not sinless, but he does sin less. We are convicted by the Holy Spirit, and that brings us to confessing our sins before God. The non-believer, as we'll see later on in this section, uses obscenity, shameful talk, but has no conscience, no conviction that it's wrong, and no desire for the things of Christ. Those are indications of somebody not being born of the Spirit of God. So he says in verses 31 and 32 of chapter 4 that we just finished, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and partying and slander be put away from you. And be useful. The word kind is the word useful to one another. Be compassionate. Be forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And so as we start now in chapter 5, we continue about the details of the new life, and we continue under the theme and the heading of walk worthy of the calling in which you were called. In chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, we're going to study about the production of the new life. The new life produces the life of Christ in us. Jesus called it bearing fruit. And it's called bearing fruit or production because it's not done by us. It's not works. It is the function and ministry of the Holy Spirit. In this production of the new life in the first 14 verses, in our 5 verses, we are going to study the expression of the believer. The expression of the believer. There are 3 commands in these 5 verses. And it's interesting that each command, there's a formula in the Greek text. There's a command and then there's a comparison, giving us an illustration or example of what he means by the command. In chapter 5, verse 1, he starts out with the word therefore. This is a conjunction that introduces to us a concluding statement based on what has been said before. In verses 17 to 32, how we were not to walk as the rest of the Gentiles are walking. Therefore, putting it in a positive command and approach. Here's the first command. In the English, most English Bibles, it says, be therefore followers or imitators. Literally in the Greek text, it's not be, it's the word become. Become. So he knows that we are not yet this, but this is what we are to be in the process of becoming. It's not a matter of human works or effort. It is still the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But our part in all of this is decision making. Starts with the word for repentance, metanoeo, which actually means to make a decision for change. When a person surrenders their life, they make a decision for change. So they surrender to Christ because we cannot change ourselves. We cannot change the direction of our life. We can only make the decision for change. We must call upon the Lord to make the change. He is the only one that can save us. We can't save ourselves. I can't change myself. But in Christ, Second Corinthians 5:17, I become a new creation when Christ comes into my spirit. And even though I still live according to the old human senses and the desires of the flesh, the Lord has me on a process, a road of development to teach me how to live by faith in spite of all of the fleshly desires and feelings, in spite of how I evaluate life from the human. But we're learning to live by faith. All of the Christian life is made up of choices. We saw in Romans 12:1 that the Lord says to, Paul says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, whom you serve with your reasoning process. So I reason things out in life and I make decisions in response to the truth of His Word and to the truth of Christ and that which is well-pleasing to Him and what He would have me do. Even after we're saved, we still have to make choices. In Romans chapter 6, verse 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man, the old life, is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth or from now on, we should not serve sin. Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts of it. Romans 6:13. Neither yield your members, that would be the members of your body, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but you are under grace. Sin can no longer dominate and lord it over a believer's life. Sin is there. We are no longer enslaved to sin. We don't owe our physical body anything. to satisfy it, especially to satisfy its desires. We owe it nothing. But this shows us that we can make a decision to either yield the members of our body as members of righteousness or unrighteousness. He's asking for the decision to be made that now that you have been set free from the dominance of sin, who is Satan, now that you have been set free, make choices. When you make choices to surrender the members of your body as instruments of righteousness for God's Spirit to use, not like the rest of the Gentiles who are serving themselves. And again, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 is where Paul says that I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Again, here's decision making. That my service to Christ is that in every situation that I come to, I make a decision to surrender my body, my life to Christ, not as a dead sacrifice, but as a living sacrifice. It takes a decision. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, whom you serve with your reasoning process. Now, we don't serve Him with our reasoning process by following psychological principles. It's not a mind game. It's just that the mind is the apparatus that entertains thoughts. And I get probably more disturbed than I should. Actually, I probably should be as disturbed as I am, but not let it get to me as it does, is that people take these scriptures that have to do with the mind and they teach people how to practice positive thoughts and psychological principles. That does not involve the Lord. It's me taking thoughts and principles out of Scripture and practicing them so that I change my mood or change the atmosphere of my mind or I get escape the reality of my situation. And it's just me taking the Scriptures and working with myself. Where's the Lord in all that? It's not. So, become, present tense, be continually becoming, that's a command. Making that decision to go down that road and become something, and the something is given to us in the text as followers of God. Therefore, become followers of God. Some English texts say imitators. We should know what this word mimetai from mimetes means for followers. It's not the normal word for follow, like Jesus said, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. That's not what this word is. That's akalutheo. This word is mimetes. It is where we get our English word mime from. It is a theatrical term that is used for the mimic, the mime. In Greek literature and the arts, a mimetes, a mime, is somebody who acts out a message or a story without speaking. That's the original mime, where someone will come out in a costume, maybe a face mask. Sometimes mimics do all of the characters. They just go backstage and change masks and come out and just act out a different character. But the message or the story that they're acting out comes with their expressions. You have to watch their expressions to figure out what the message is or what the story is all about. Therefore, the best definition for mimetes is the word expression. The word followers or the word imitators kind of leads people in the wrong direction. We are not able to copy or imitate the very essence and nature of God. That's impossible. Lately, I've heard it all the time. Try to get yourself to act like God. How do I do that? As soon as I start to act like God, I failed. Because He is holy, and He is the Almighty. So we cannot copy or imitate the very nature that God is. But we can make a decision and allow our lives to be the expression of His Spirit living inside. That's what Paul's making mention to, is that we're being looked at. And we have to become expressions of God in our life. I cannot be an expression of God. But my life, as I surrender my life and make decisions to present my body as a living sacrifice to God, His Spirit then takes my surrender and expresses Himself through my life according to His will. Paul has used this word, mimetes, in other places. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "Wherefore I appeal to you, become imitators of me," he says. 1 Corinthians 4:16. Imitators of Paul? 1 Corinthians 11:1. "Become imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ." So we have another human being who's just like you and me. Christ was different. Even though God came in human form, He was without sin. He showed us what it would be like for a holy God to come in human form and reveal Himself and express Himself to the human race, which is all well and good. I can't do that. But we have Paul, who's just like you and me. As a matter of fact, he said he's the chiefest of sinners. And he says, if you want to know what a life is like to have the expression of Christ in your life, then follow me. I'll show you. Wow. Paul is saying that as you see the expression of Christ in me, and through me, let the same expression be through you. In Philippians 3:17, Philippians 3:17, Paul says, "Brethren, be followers or imitators together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." Not only do we have Paul's gospel to make comparison with what we're hearing, because if anybody preaches any other gospel than that which Paul has preached, he is to be accursed. But this is not just the gospel. This is not just doctrine. This is not just the understanding of Scripture. He says, be imitators together with me. And if you find anybody that has a different expression in their life than I have, you've got us for an example. And he says, mark those people. Mark is the word skopos. Scope it out. Those people do not have the same Spirit of God expressing through them as I do, Paul says. But if they're different, then it is not of the Lord. It's pretty exciting for us to have a gospel that we can compare everything to, and even another brother. And you can see that when he wrote his second letter to the church in Corinth. You remember the super apostles came in. They said, well, if Paul's an apostle, then we are super apostles. We're above him. They didn't deny Paul's apostleship. They just said, he's just a rookie. He was just in on the beginnings, and we have a fuller revelation than he does. So Paul wrote and said, oh yeah, from oh yeah, oh, Greek, oh yeah. He says, you have forced me to play the role of the fool from a human standpoint. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul listed all of the physical and circumstantial things that he had to suffer through. He listed the beatings, the shipwrecks, all of the things he had to suffer through to be in service to Christ. And then in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, he presents the spiritual things he had to suffer because of the revelations that were given to him. A messenger of Satan was given to buffet his body. But it was for spiritual reasons. So he says, okay, now make the comparison. These people who are super apostles, what are they suffering? Because Paul presents himself as following Christ. Did you see Christ come and suffer? Did the world hate him? Paul says, same here. You know why? I have the same Christ. These super apostles come in and they say, oh, well, Paul's always in trouble and he's always suffering. And it's kind of interesting because false teachers and false teachings always use the physical world or the material realm as the barometer for spirituality. And that's the realm that both the Lord, of course, and his word, and the apostles that were with him showed us that that's false. The system of the world is not energized by God. It is run by Satan. Satan is the one who offers more than the necessities to God's people so that they get themselves all bound up with that little bumper sticker. I owe, so off to work I go. It's not I live, it's I owe. So then he says in verse 1, become therefore imitators of God. Be expressions of God. Not of yourself, nor other people, but become expressions of God. And notice the comparison, as beloved children. The word as shows us that this is a comparison. The word beloved means the objects of God's love. A beloved child is a person who is the object of his Father's love. And we're called children. We are children because we have been born from out of God's love, His Spirit. His motive is love. His presence is love. And it's a factual statement that sometimes we get a little embarrassed to admit, but children act like their parents. That's why mine are always calm and quiet and courteous and nice. But children act like their parents. That's why we get so angry with them. A lot of times it's out of frustration and we're saying, stop acting like me. So children act like their parents. And so he says, as beloved children of God, you are children, you are in a family and you have a father. In your life should express your father. Interesting, in John chapter 8, at verse 38, Jesus speaking with the Pharisees, he says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. And you do that which you have seen with your father. So they come back and say, well, Abraham's our father. We don't know who your father is because you were born illegitimately. Jesus said in John 8:43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word, verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He went on in this chapter to say that I speak the truth, but Satan, your father, there's no truth in him, and he is the liar from the beginning, and that's why you don't receive the truth. Your father's a liar, so you're only going to receive the lie. God's children are going to receive the truth. And he says, that's the real problem. You are of your father, the devil. So we are to become and be becoming something, expressing the character and the nature of our father. Be mimetized, be mimics, be expressions of our Heavenly Father. My number one position in relation to God is I am His child. Now, I can blame everything else on my parents and say, well, they did all this before me. We can complain about our parents. I've seen this over the years where people, oh, my father was terrible. He was a drunk, alcoholic, and he beat the family, beat the members of the family, and that person who absolutely abhors that kind of lifestyle becomes an alcoholic and beating the family. Not all the time, not 100% across the board. But whether we love them or despise them or hate them or resent them, we're like them. But we, as I've said over the years, we can stop the merry-go-round. We can surrender to Christ and be expressions of our Father in heaven instead of the examples we have down here on earth. The second command is, and walk in love. We will take that next week. Therefore, become imitators, mimics, expressions of God as His children. And of course, we have our next third phrase of walk, and walk in love. What does it mean to walk in love? And we will take that next week. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank You, and we credit You with all ministry. We know that we are but human vessels with a human voice and human hearing. And we have our own mind, which does not always serve us well. But we do confess that it is your Spirit that transcends all the human failure and weakness, that ministers the truth of Christ to our hearts. And we pray, as our Father, you would discipline us as your children to become the expressions of our Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.